The NPL Show is brought to you in association with EvoStick. Get stuck in.
Hello everyone and welcome to Harrison Park. I'm Ben and we're here tonight for the final of the Integro League Cup final between Bamber Bridge and Grantham Town. And joining me for this NPL Show live special, got me of course, I'm always here for these kind of things, as is this guy, James Hayes. Hello James.
Hello, how are you doing?
I'm all good. And making his appearance for the first time this season as a live broadcaster on NPL duties, Swampy's here. Hello, Swampy.
Yeah, good evening, Ben. First time live duties? This will get me
this
good.
Season, yeah, for the NPL show.
As in live, live?
Live, live, live. We are live, just to prove it is live. Outside, I can confirm, still daylight.
Well, that's pretty true of pretty everywhere else in the country at this moment in time, Ben. Unless people are listening in far-flung land, so well done for that.
It's a first-class fact. And
it's a fact. It's not even a fact.
Speaking
it's
of
just
facts,
obvious.
Speaking of facts, coming up in the next few hours, we're going to be bringing you live coverage of the final here between Bamber Bridge and Grantham Town. We're going to try and catch up with both sets of coaching staff. But before that, the next half an hour or so, we're going to be discussing the ramifications of what has been a very, very hectic Easter period of football in the Premier Division. We should say, if you're tuning in from a Division 1 perspective, James is bound, and Swampy are bound to drop hints of those divisions during the show. But we are going to do a special Division 1 show as well later this week. So you're spoilt for choice this week. So if your team's not mentioned, don't worry just yet.
Don't complain. Don't send live messages to us directly here at Harrison Park.
But if you'd like to send direct messages, what is the best place to get in touch, James?
You can either at TGOT or at EvoStick League. So you've got the choice of the two. I'd probably go with at TGOT to abuse us, EvoStick League to congratulate us.
Anyway, coming up then, we're going to be discussing all the ins and outs of what could happen over the course of the next 3 or 4 days or so when it comes to the NPL Premier Division. It's a very, very important period. Tonight, Workington are in action. They're taking on Ilkeston at home. And later on, we're going to be hearing from John Walsh of BBC Radio Cumbria. And tomorrow, Nantwich Town can seal their spot in the playoffs. They're travelling to Hillsow in town. There's also a bit of a relegation ding-dong, and that's where we're going to be starting things this evening. Sutton Coldfield Town and Corby Town on the same number of points, separated by 10 goals, essentially. And this weekend, Corby Town are travelling to Coldfield Town, where Sutton Coldfield Town are travelling to Workington. Now, before we get to all that, I think we should call somebody. And at this point, this is the magic of radio now, dear listener. We are live, and we're going to attempt something we've not done before. We're going to do the NPL show live, and that means speaking to people on the phone. Now, coming up in a second, we're going to be hearing from Kevin Moore on Scratch Radio, who's going to be discussing with us the ramifications for Sutton Coldfield Town and how things are going to be going on this week. There, you can hear the phone
that's
ringing.
This is like Swap Shop.
Hello, is that Ben?
Goodness gracious me.
Hello, Kevin, how are you?
I'm good, thanks, Ben, how are you?
I'm all good. Welcome to the NPL show. You're live, please do not swear. Now, just for introduction purposes, can you introduce yourself to the dear listener at home and what you're up to this evening and why you're at a football ground too?
Yeah, certainly. My name's Kevin Moore. I'm the assistant sports editor for Switch Radio, one of the Birmingham-based community radio stations, and we cover Sutton Coldfield Town, Romulus, Paget Rangers and Bolmere St Michael's as part of our sports coverage. We do a show on Saturday called the Saturday Scoreboard. And tonight, actually, we're in grassroots football mode because one of our local sides I just mentioned at the start there, Bolmere St Michael's, their Sunday league team is playing in a cup final tonight against FC Sportsman's in the Runsby Cup final, which is taking place here at Trevor Brown Memorial Ground, which is home of Bolmere St Michael's. And it's a 3G pitch as well, so we're looking forward to a good night of football. And I must say, Ben, thanks for getting in touch during the course. It's a pleasure to be on the programme this evening. And as you know, I'm going to be part of Switch Radio's coverage. We'll be covering the important game on Saturday as Sutton Coldfield Town look to try and retain their Premier Division status away against Workington on Saturday.
Now, what's the mood like at the moment at Sutton Coldfield Town? Because it's been a long season for Sutton Coldfield Town. They are at this stage, though, now where they could get out of it. There's easier places to go to, though, let's be honest.
Absolutely. I mean, the cards have been dealt severely against them. I think it's an important point to make, actually, Ben, that after Neil Tooth was dismissed by the board, and Richard Snakers and Steve Hinks took over, they took over mid-November, and they took over in a very, very difficult situation. It's been a difficult season for the club. I think that the start of the problems season where the 3G pitch failed, whatever reasons, failed the then FIFA and FA test, where they couldn't play their match to begin with at home at Coles Lane. And sadly, starting to start their league campaign, the first official home match was against Whitby Town. They had to play Eastwood Town's ground. So for the first month, 6 weeks, seen a lot of disruption. Having said that, though, the away form this season has not been good enough, and that's why we are where we are. But to say to Richard Sakers and also Steve Hinks, if you look at our home form, it's been pretty sort of good by and large. We've had some fantastic results at home over the course of the season. We beat Stourbridge, we beat Blyth Spartans, we beat Spennymoor Town. But we have just the bottom line is where we are because we just haven't picked enough points away from home. Just two wins, away wins all season has not been good enough. Having said that, though, it's partially in our hands. You know, we've got to better what Corby Town do on Saturday. They're away against Colville Town. And if we better what Corby Town do on Saturday, then we're going to stay up. But it's not going to be easy because Workington, I understand, they're playing Ilverston tonight and they're still gunning for, like, a playoff position by the end of the season as well. So all we've got to do is, like, not worry about what happens at other parts of the country. It's got to go out, try and win the game, and hope that's enough to actually, like, sustain our Premier Division status for next season.
And what's the mood like with Richard Snakers? Richard doesn't like coming on the NPL show because he considers me a bit of a jinx, unfortunately. But one of the reasons why I'd like Sutton Coldfield to stay up is so I can interview him at last. What's the general mood like with Richard? What's his impression of where Sutton Coldfield are going this weekend away at Workington?
Well, I think the key thing to point out, Ben, is that the fans actually can respect the guy, what he's doing, because he's trying to turn things around. He's trying to embellish and build up his own squad. A key thing that has to be mentioned as well is, like, they've gone for a hell of a lot of players at the course this season. When they took over mid-November, the first match was away against Rushall, which, as I'm sure you're aware, is one of his former clubs he managed as well, and him and Steve Hinks were the management team there at Rushall. But they haven't really had a chance to have a look at a preparation period where they can actually build up their own squad. That will no doubtly happen during the summer. They've gone through something of about 60-odd players this year. And I'm looking at the team sheet now. The team sheet against Halsdow in town on Easter Bank Holiday Monday, with the exception of our goalkeeper, James Wren, that is a pretty much an entirely different squad compared to when Neil Tooth in charge before he got dismissed, you know, October-November time. So they've had to sort of, like, build and build as they're going along, really. But the fans are very, very patient, and we know it's going to be a rebuilding programme this year for the club anyway. I think the key thing they've got to try and address for next season, regardless what league we're going to be in, is to get the away form up to scratch, because we only win two matches away from home going into, like, last weekend of the season. That's not going to keep you up in the league, really, is it? It's going to always make things difficult for you. And, you know, so I think the fans are very patient. But Richard Snakers, as you know, he's a former West Bromwich Albion player. He's played at Bolton. He's for the Ajax system when he was a young kid. That guy's got contacts all over the world, and players will go and play for him as well. So they're starting to build things long term as well. But I firmly believe if we can stay up this season, then, you know, we can start to build and maybe form a credible force next season in the Premier Division. But fingers crossed, I hope we do enough on Saturday to sustain our top flight status next year.
Kevin, it's Swampy here. Obviously, Richard has got a good pedigree. He's been in the Northern Premier League for a little while now. Has he put pen to paper for next season? Has he committed himself to be part of the club next season, or are we still waiting upon perhaps what's happened over the weekend?
He's going to be on board. I don't think he wants to leave the club just yet because he's got a job to do there, and he's not one of those guys where they're like, I'll give it a season, then I'll, you know, they'll move on somewhere else. I think he lives in Sutton Coldfield, but he's settled in that part of Birmingham, stroke Greater Birmingham. And so he feels settled there as well. So I don't see Richard Snakers actually deciding, like, you know, I've had enough. I know the temptation, some people are thinking, like, you know, you don't want to see a relegation on your CV. But I think he's made a sterner stuff than that, to be honest. And he sees the club as a challenge to sort of, like, develop things as they go along. And, you know, there are some players, like, for example, the captain, Michael Townsend, has been an absolute revelation this season for the club. There are certain players, I think, like, regardless of what happens, are going to be there next season as well. Yes, admittedly, if the club get relegated, there will be financial constraints. Because you're going down division, aren't you? You know, certain parts of the budget will get cut. But I know, I don't see him jumping ship. I think he's there for the long haul, and he want to sort of build things up and put his stamp on the club as well and get the club getting more success coming their way over the next couple of years, definitely.
Well, Kevin, you've got a football match to commentate on in 3 minutes, I think it kicks off.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, so, Kevin, thank you for joining us. Just a quick plug as well for Saturday Scoreboard and Switch Radio and what's going on this weekend with yourself.
But myself, and I should actually great thanks to my friends who are listening to the team as well. Ben Ellis is our head of sport. Hello, Ben, I'm sure he's listening. And also Ellie Chowcat is our programme producer. The plan is I'm going to be doing, like, away match commentary of Workington versus Sutton Coldfield Town, and we'll confirm this certainly by Friday, but the plan is if Ben and Ellie are available, then we're also going to hopefully be covering Romulus versus Lincoln United as well. Brilliant. So we'll certainly get two of our local sides covered as well, and these are sort of stuff. We'll do updates, you know, from the Premier League and Championship and stuff like that. But also we'll be fingers crossed, if not this Saturday, certainly next Saturday, we're going to be broadcasting a couple of exclusive interviews with Barry Fry, former Birmingham City manager, and also Tom Ross, who, I don't know if you know who Tom Ross is, but he's a Birmingham legend in the world of radio broadcasting. He was part of BR&B for many, many years, and he's an absolute sports journalist legend. So we've got some exclusive interviews to play on our show over the next couple of weeks. And, at Switch Sport is the Twitter, and the website is www.switchradio.co.uk.
And it's on 107.5 as well, we should say. Well, Kevin Moore, a big thank you for joining us. Good luck with your broadcast tonight, and good luck this weekend with the Workington match as well. And thanks for joining us on the MPL show.
Cheers, guys. Thanks ever so much. A pleasure to talk to you both, and I hope to speak to you guys again very, very soon.
Take care. There you go. We live. We did it.
That's the first time we've ever done anything like that, Ben. It's not bad at all.
It's not bad at all. No.
Fergie's got no excuse anymore. Then.
No. Let's just get. That's the view from Sutton Coldfield there. Thoughts?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a big ask. I mean, you know, Workington tonight against Ilson, you can't see anything but a big win for Workington. But they'll still want to go out there on Saturday as well, because they'll want to be in the best position for the playoffs. And I think it's going to be a tough ask for them on Saturday. It's a long journey as well.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, if Workington do win tonight, they've secured the playoffs
anyway. Of course, yeah.
So, obviously, as we speak, they're playing Ilkeston tonight, as you already mentioned. It's more a fact then of what team Workington prepare for the midweek game, because again, they've still got potential of hosting a match. Now, obviously, with a chasing pack, Workington will obviously have that advantage.
They'll want to play at home, Workington, exactly. And that's why, regardless tonight of winning, they'll want to win that game on Saturday.
Hello.
And do the same as well.
Yeah. Now, that is the voice there you can hear in the background of Mr. John Dunham from the Northamptonshire Telegraph, who I've got on speed dial, dear listener at home. John, welcome to the show. How's things?
All right, Ben. How are you, mate? All right?
I'm all good. Then I thought you were going to say, who? Who? Sorry, wrong number.
Yeah, wrong number. Anyway, John, we've just spoke to Switch Radio about Sutton Coldfield's challenge this weekend. Corby Town, they've got, I don't want to say easier, but it's a bit easier than Workington away. It's Coldfield Town away. What's the mood in the camp? Because they've gone on a bit of a... It seems to have gone up a bit.
Yeah, they've had a bit of a bounce with the new manager. Ben, to be honest, they've had two great results. So away at Stafford, they won late on, and then they were terrific on Easter Monday against Grantham. They really made Grantham look really ordinary, and I think Grantham were coming into it on the back of six wins in a row or something like that. So they sorted them out on Easter Monday, and now they're in pole position to pull off the great escape, and make no mistake about it, it will be a great escape if they do it.
Now, last week we had a chat about the possibility of a new management bounce, Corby Town rolling the dice like Frickley did. Didn't quite work out for Frickley, but it has worked for Corby. What's it all down to?
I think the manager who's come in, I mean, he's been there as a coach anyway, so he's not brand new to the players. They all know him, but he definitely brings it. Steve Kinneberg, he definitely brings with him a real enthusiasm for the job. You know, he's really enthusiastic. He's really high on the old heart, passion, desire, and everything like that. And that's certainly what they've shown. To be honest, they certainly showed it on Monday against Grantham. They were full of energy. Didn't give Grantham a second. And they took their chances when they came. And yeah, given the form they're in now, the two wins on the bounce, I fully expect them to finish the job on Saturday.
Well, two games, as you say, on the bounce, and I suppose when a manager who's already been there for a while anyway, he himself would have taken responsibility, I'm sure, for parts of the season, along with Mr. Mills. But he's coming at a time, really, when there's nothing to lose. There's three or four games to go, and you see it in all levels of football. The first two or three games, you normally get a reaction from players, regardless who's come in, a new face, maybe looking for next season as well. So he's come in possibly at a really crucial time where the club felt, Gary, I thought he'd done a tremendous job to get where you were, getting you out of the mire. But as I say, you've got a golden opportunity, as Ben says, that big journey for up to Workington is going to be a tough one. You've only got to go not too far down the road, and you sound very confident yourself that the club are going to stay up this season.
Well, yeah, I mean, like you just hinted at there, if I was Corby and I was looking at it, I wouldn't swap out their fixture for Sutton Coldfields without any doubt. You'd much rather be going an hour up the road to play a team who with the greatest of respect to them, their season is done. You know, they've achieved safety, which I guess was their own. They've done it really well. And, you know, they're not in the best of form. Or would you like to go all the way up to Workington to play a team who, just, you know, even if they win tonight, will still be pushing for a home playoff semi-final? So, you know, I think the odds are heavily stacked in Corby's favour. Putting it together on the pitch on Saturday is obviously always a different thing, isn't it? And if they're,
of course, yeah.
You know, if they're 0-0 and then Sutton Coldfield get one, then the players will find out because the crowd will react and then all hell will break loose. So, you know, it's going to be one of those days. You know, it's going to be one of those famous days where you never really know what's going to happen right up until the end. But certainly, if I go by what I saw on Monday, if Corby take that into Saturday, then I'd really back them to get a result at Coldfield.
A question I asked to our previous guest on the show was in regards to managers. Any assurances for next season with the manager if he gets you out of trouble or you get relegated either way? Is he staying with you next season or is it still up in the air?
Yeah, I think it's up in the air at the moment, to be honest. I mean, you know, I would if I was him, I'd be looking at it and thinking, well, if I finish the job here, then, you know, if I want it, I don't know whether he wants it or not, but if he does, then if he keeps them up, then he's going to give himself a great chance of getting it, I would think. But no, yeah, I mean, nothing's been said. When they let Gary Mills go, Steve Kinneberg took it and they said, you know, it's a temporary appointment until the end of the season and nothing more has been said since. So that'll be a question for 5 o'clock on Saturday.
Of course.
Well, there you go. So, John, sorry, I've got a bit of pie crust in my throat. I do apologise. The pies here are lovely, we should say.
It's from three days ago, though, as well, Ben. That's the problem.
Yeah, that's definitely a pie from Darlington. Right, so this weekend, where's the best place to keep abreast of what's going on? Are you going to this game? Are you going to be covering Rushton and Diamonds? Because you're a busy lad, aren't you, at the moment?
Yeah, I need to try and cut myself in half, to be honest. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to be at Coalville. So I will be there to see whether Corby get over the line and... I will be hoping that Rushton and Diamonds get the job done, and then I can go and watch them on Tuesday night at Witten. So that's my plan. Whether it works out or not, I don't know. But I'll definitely be at Coalville on Saturday, and I'll have live updates on Twitter if anyone wants to have a look at them at John Dunham NT. And yeah, I'll be there to see what drama unfolds.
Well, John Dunham, putting the North in Northants Telegraph. A big thank you for joining us, and all the best this weekend. And good luck covering the match. Much appreciated.
Cheers, Ben.
Good
thanks,
luck,
mate.
Good luck.
Well, there we go. That was live. We did another live right there. Wait, I feel like we should stop now. But
well, you can if you want to, Ben. But well, no, there are more people to talk to.
There are. So that's the bottom end of the table. Are you surprised it's gone down to this one game with just the two sides? Because at one point it was looking a bit broader than that, wasn't it?
Yeah, no, I think you're right there. I think there could have been another two teams involved personally, but with other results that have been going on. I mean, Frickley, I think the fans were getting ready for relegation. Had that brief bit of hope just after. I think they won just the week after we said.
Yeah, of course. Green,
but
I mean, you can skirt with relegation for so much longer. Exactly. I mean, I know last season was a little bit of a difference for them, and they've you know been on the periphery of relegation for a number of seasons. It's going to be horrible exactly. as a supporter year in year out. They have been relegated this season, but going to Corby, well, they had an absolutely horrendously bad start. We all thought there was no way back for them. I thought Gary Mills had done a tremendous job, and that five games where he just didn't quite get the team playing or continuing to play has cost him his job, unfortunately. But I think they're in a great position now.
And it's a hell of a roll of a dice, what Corby did, especially when there was two examples that they could go to. Marine, obviously, yeah. With Tommy Lawson, and what Frickley did. But in this case, speaking to John Dunham there, he was a bit more... Not as drastic as we thought, because it was like one of the backroom staff coming in.
That's the difference. It was backroom staff coming in. That was the difference, yeah. And I think also, I think the players themselves have obviously put in the shifts for him in the last two games. If you were, you know, a betting person, you'd say certainly Corby would be the team that you'd expect to stay up this season. Two great results. You know, the Stafford result was an excellent one, and against Grantham, you know, equally. You know, whether Grantham had one eye on this game here, which was clearly not the case because they were still looking to get to the playoffs.
Yes.
They wanted to be in the playoffs.
Effectively.
And, you know, it was a situation where they've done tremendously well. I don't think any of us expected Corby to perhaps go there and win that game, but they did, and we've heard convincingly, really. So, you know, it's going to be a very interesting end of season. But that's what football's all about, you know. We look at the teams in and around, who's going to be there, who's not going to be there. Sometimes we get it right, sometimes we get it wrong. The better of the two teams will stay up this season. That's what we will say. The better of the two teams will stay up.
And when it comes to the top end, we're going to be hearing from John Walsh in a second, the beautiful voice of John Walsh. I'm putting that on record before he gets on the phone. I don't want him to blush. BBC Radio Cumbria. I obviously work it in a plane tonight. So if we go up to the top end, Spennymoor in the playoffs confirmed, Stourbridge in the playoffs. Now, Nantwich, it's going to take a lot for Nantwich not to be in the playoffs, isn't it? I mean, they are playing tomorrow. But tonight is the interesting one, and it's got ramifications for Grantham Town because Workington can put it to bed tonight.
Yeah, I mean, I was speaking to Johnny Crowther just about dinner time this afternoon about the playoffs, and he's like, don't curse it just yet, even though they need a point out of two games just to settle a thing.
Yeah.
But obviously, we know them three are pretty much in there, unless Nantwich absolute get the goal difference as well.
Exactly.
Well, the goal difference is going to help them dramatically, and the thing is as well about the two teams at the bottom, the goal difference is going to make a big difference as well. If things, you know, stay very similar, goal difference will, you know, separate the two teams.
Exactly.
Really, I've said what for the last 3 or 4 months, Workington Town, you know, on the MPL show, and this season they've actually come through. They're working all the way through, and I think they'll be cemented into the playoffs tonight. I think with them, you know, they'll want to get a hatful tonight as well to make sure, and then they'll want to go into Saturday's game knowing they've done that and then to get into the best position they can. Yeah. And I'm glad I predicted that they would be in that top five this season.
Last thoughts to you, James, before we get to John Wilson.
It's just all down to Nantwich now, I think, personally. They know they've got Grantham and Buxton waiting on the shadows if they do slip up. But again, it's very hard to see them, A, against Haleswell tomorrow night.
Yes.
Haleswell, obviously, they've finished their season. I think sigh of relief for them if they get beat.
Losing JJ has only been a little bit of a blip for them. They've lost him with, you know, some good goals and some performances, but I can't really see anything other than Workington being right up there.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, stop talking, you. Right, we're now joined by broadcasting legend John Walsh. Hello, John, how are you from BBC Radio Company?
Very well, thank you very much. Yeah, good.
Thank you for joining us. We're live at Harrison Park, and you're live somewhere else, and I've assured you to get you on the show that if this match is boring, then people are more than welcome to tune into BBC Radio Cumbria tonight. Where are you?
Yeah, we're at Borough Park, home of Workington, of course, against Ilkeston. Ilkeston already relegated. They can't get out of trouble now. And Workington, of course, needing one win from their final two matches to make the playoffs for the third successive year. We've got one other game, of course, on Saturday against Sutton Coldfield here at Borough Park. And two wins could actually catapult working up from fifth, where they are at the moment, up to second if the other results go with us. It's more likely they could finish third. So for the third year in a row, Workington lined up for the EvoStick Premier playoffs, which is a fantastic achievement. It's been an up and down season. There've been some lows as well as the highs, but Workington have a habit of finishing the season very, very strongly, and that's exactly what they've done before tonight's game. They've won 8 out of their last 9 matches.
Now, going back to our last chat we had, which I think was about a month ago or so, John, did you know then at that stage, because one of the things we were talking about was just how up and down Workington were, and I think I described them as having a really big yo-yo season. Are you surprised they've come on this strong towards the end of the season and got themselves into a position where they could finish that high in the playoff positions, let alone in the playoffs?
That Workington were consistently inconsistent. they would string a couple of wins together, but then they were back in, you know, they'd lose, and they couldn't put a good string of results together. But until these last, we're top of the form table in the last 10 matches. Workington are top of the form table in our league. Now that tells you that they've hit form at the right time. It's something they've done in the previous two seasons when we've gone on to make the playoffs. They've followed suit again, and that is really the crux of the matter. They've found the form at the right time of the season after being so inconsistent previously. So, yeah, it was consistently inconsistent, but now we're very consistent.
John, it's Swampy here from FC United and Manchester Radio, and I've sat next to you on many occasions up at Workington and listened to you, your dulcet tones whilst we're trying to commentate on games against you. The question I've got really is, that the playoffs, do you think this season Workington would prefer to play their playoff game semi-final wise away from home opposed to being at home? Because you've not been that successful in those first semi-final ties, have you, at home in recent times?
Yeah, the 2 years ago, remarkably, this is the team that we lost to, Ilkeston. Mm. We had beaten them twice in a month in the league. They came to us in the playoff semi-final, and we were very, very confident of going through. But you know what happens? We lost 1-0, Ilkeston went through to the final, and we're beaten by Curzon Ashton, I think that was Curzon Ashton, that they went up. Then last year, we went to Blyth in the semi-final. We finished fifth last year, went to Blyth, who'd been second, and a wonderful game of football. I think I would say the same if we'd lost, but it was a terrific game, and we beat Blyth 4-3 with a goal in time added on from Rob Wilson after Scott Allison had scored a hat-trick, which took us through to the final. We went to Salford in the final, and we were ahead 2-1 with, I think it was about 8-10 minutes left for play, and they scored twice in the last 8-10 minutes to beat us 3-2, or it could have been us who were going up into the Conference North again.
And as you've alluded to there, John, the experience workers that have got, and it's a question I asked you a couple of months ago about if Workington get into those playoff positions, there's not many clubs in those playoffs with the level of experience that Workington have. Is that going to be an advantage, do you feel?
Oh, yeah, massive advantage, I think. I know, and if you look at Spennymoor, new to our league, but it's a very strong side. We lost 5-0 down at Stourbridge. They scored 5 goals in the first 27 minutes, game over. And the other side, like in Nantwich, I think, when they played here at Borough Park on Boxing Day, we beat them 3-1, but I thought they were the best footballing team we've played this season, Nantwich. And we were able to go there on Monday and complete the double by winning 1-0 there as well. So, it's the three teams that I've mentioned there, none of them have the experience of the semi-finals that we've had and finals, but we respect them all for the quality of football and the way that certainly the two of them have beaten us this season.
No, just, guys, obviously last year with the playoff final defeat, because again, going into the playoffs, Workington were the best, the on-form team and the best team out of the three divisions at the same time. Is that playing on the mind a little bit at the moment in regards to what happened last year, or is it a case of prove they can go one better now?
Yeah, I'm fairly confident this year because the way that they've come good in the closing 6 weeks of the season, you know, winning 8 out of the last 9, being top of the form table, that is what you want to carry into the end of season playoffs. Now, that is exactly what Workington are doing at the minute. They're on top form, and if they can continue that by beating Ilkeston tonight and then going on and beating Sutton Coldfield on Saturday, well, that's 10 out of the last 11. That's a wonderful sort of platform to go into any playoff game, whether it's away or at home. So that is why I think that the way they're playing, the squad has been managed superbly over the last 6 weeks as well. People have been rested. We played 4 games in 8 days, you know, when we play on Saturday. And it's used the squad, what Dave Hewson and Lee Andrews, who run the team, they've used the squad superbly. They've freshened it up. They've left boys on the bench. They've brought them in. There's changes from Saturday, from Monday as well. And the way they've handled, the way they've game managed, team managed the side over these last few telling weeks. I mean, Premier League teams playing 4 games in 8 days. What would they say? You know, football league teams, what would they say playing 4 in 8?
Exactly.
Of course, don't forget, after Saturday, when we played 4 in 8, then we play a playoff semi-final on the Tuesday. So it's really, really frantic end to the season. And you've got to be a strong, fit, and you, as I said, you've got to move your squad around for these sort of games. And funnily enough, the last 2 matches, we've all commented on the fact that the Workington bench has been as strong as it has been all season, which is another positive for the side. I mean, on Nantwich on Monday, there was Gary Rowntree, there was Kyle May, Anthony Wright, 3 of our most experienced players who were on the bench. And, you know, that's a very, very good sign, I think, for what lies ahead.
Well, John Walsh from BBC Radio Cumbria. Ever the professional, going on about how many games the first team at Workington have to cover, this man has to cover them as well. So, John Walsh, a big thank you for coming on the show. Just one last plug as well for BBC Radio Cumbria and tonight's coverage.
Yes, indeed. We're going on air online at 20 minutes to 8, just to chat James Phillips and I. He usually watches Carlisle, commentates on Carlisle, but of course he's is now down to the grassroots, and that he's doing it, he's enjoyed it certainly, and last Tuesday was down for the game with Buxton, thoroughly enjoyed it and couldn't wait to do it again tonight. So we're online from 20 to 8. And the full commentary will be with the Radio Cumbria online link.
Well, thank you very much, John Walsh, and safe commentary tonight and on Saturday, and hopefully be hearing from you in the playoffs too. So thanks for joining
us. Thank you very much indeed. Good luck. Thank you.
You did so well there, Ben. Brilliant. Safe commentary.
I didn't
mean the same journey. Oh, you're about to say, yeah, weren't you? But he's not at home.
I know. I thought
he's
that.
He's at a football ground.
Yeah.
Safe commentary.
Safe commentary.
I mean, it's dodgy up there, isn't it?
I'm down with the kids. I could say safe commentary, and it can mean other things.
I've got a sneaky feeling there's not that many 7 or 8 year olds actually listening to us talking about teams in Cumbria.
Keep it real, kids. Anyway, so that's our coverage pre-match of all things league based.
Feels like first live.
Nice little test there, and it
works okay.
Tree.
Not bad at all.
A couple of loose wires, but we can sort that out.
Yeah, but that's James.
Yes. So what's your view then? I mean, it's going to be a tall order for Workington not to make the playoffs now, isn't it?
Workington for me will be cemented into the playoffs. It's going to be very interesting with that game. You know, second or third, they're going to finish, aren't they, really? Or they're in fifth at the moment. They go up to second or third. They get a home tie. They'll be happy whoever they play, I think, really. They've got the form on their side. But we've seen the other teams around them. We've seen Nantwich. We've seen Workington. We've seen Spennymoor. They're all very good teams. We've seen Stourbridge as well. They're all top teams. It's going to be, whoever they play, it's going to be a fantastic week, Tuesday night of football. It really is going to be absolutely outstanding.
And what a ding-dong it is. I mean, even if Buxton, Grantham or Whitby get in there, even if they did replace Workington, that is one hell of a playoff.
It is indeed. I mean, obviously, Buxton, Grantham and Whitby, again, I think Whitby...
Even Matlock, they're not going to be there now, but what a season they've had.
Exactly. Obviously, any of the three teams that do replace Buxton, replace Workington, they know they've got to travel as well, so it's not just a case of just keep... The players have got to keep the focus on the day now, I think, personally, and get the job done. Again, even if it's the lower down teams, if they start thinking what's happening elsewhere, that's going to cost them like the place, in my personal opinion. But
what's going to happen is that whoever Workington get in the playoffs, let's say, they're going to be there the day before, maybe even 2 days before, because it's that important. I mean, Stourbridge this season have had a tremendous year. In fact, you know, they've been absolutely outstanding in 2016 and 17 with their FA Cup exploits, and they've stayed there and they've been up and down. We weren't quite sure, but as you say, I can't see Workington losing it now. They're playing probably the team that they want to play most at the end at this stage of the season, and that is can only benefit them goal difference wise. And good luck to everybody else, but I'm sticking with Workington, Ben.
Now, obviously, we're here tonight for the MPL Show Live, but also we should say for commentary this evening of Bamber Bridge against Grantham Town in the final of the Integro League Cup final. It's our third season covering this.
Is that third?
Might be third.
Third,
might be fourth.
I think it's fourth, perhaps.
Yeah, maybe. Last season was a right ding-dong between Scarborough and Marine. A very enjoyable evening.
It was, wasn't it? Yeah.
At Barnsley Celtic. Hoping for a good game tonight as well.
With over 500 high-performance products in the EvoStick range, you may need a bigger van. EvoStick. The strongest adhesives you can buy.
Well, there's going to be one additional minute, and there's an opportunity here now for there should be a free kick there. Referee, let's play. Continue. Shot comes in, and
it
bounces. And the referee's done really well there. He gave the opportunity. I think it was the number 8 for Bamber Bridge, Regan Lindley. He was being pulled back. He had the strength, though, to get the shot away. And as he was taking the shot, I think that last tug on his shirt pulled him back a little bit. He didn't get the trajectory he wanted, or certainly the power or the pace. And the referee gives, I think, probably the third free kick of the entire first half. And what he did well there, he let play continue and then gave the free kick. And it's going to be, well, let's see who's going to be over this. Stuart Vasey's one man. Jamie Milligan's another. In fact, Milligan looks like he's the man that's going to be tasked with maybe or trying to put Bamber Bridge in front in the 45th minute. It is indeed going to be Jamie Milligan. He's just slightly to the left-hand side. The wall back about 5 yards into the penalty area. He steps up. Milligan, first time shot comes in. Oh, what a goal! He goes from right to left. He bends it into the top left-hand corner. The goalkeeper, Kieran Preston, absolutely static. Nothing he could do. And that is worthy of an opening goal in any cup final. Absolutely tremendous. Jamie Milligan, left-footed. Beautiful swerving ball. And the supporters behind the goal on the right-hand side. Quite quite rightly, absolutely delighted, because I've just heard there's chicken and mushroom pies as well as meat and potato here this evening.
And we should say that Bamber have been really under the cosh for the last 10 minutes, but Grantham haven't hit the target.
We just said, didn't we, are they going to miss those chances? They have three really good chances, Grantham Town. They haven't put them to bed, but that is a world-class finish. It really was a great, great goal. And I can't see any time to get back into this game now, because the referee any second now should be blowing his whistle for the end of the first half. Although Grantham trying to come forward again. They're back in the right-hand side with Wilden. Wilden plays it to the halfway line. Ball flicked over the top of the right side of the boot. Up goes Dodd. Dodd wins the header. And second ball should be picked up by a Grantham player. It is indeed. Looking for a free kick. Referee saying, no, there was nothing wrong with that. And, when you're under the cosh, the best time to score is exactly that. And I've got to say, what a pulsating, cracking first 45 minutes of football. In fact, 46 and a bit. Yeah. And a great goal to boot with Jamie Milligan. He stepped up. The referee had done brilliantly well. He let play continue. There was a free kick. The shot got away. But the referee pulled it back, saying there was no advantage. And Milligan stepped up. And what a goal. And what an exciting second half we've got in prospect. Because this game, certainly, it can't be just one goal that separates the two teams. It's been pulsating, a lot of great quality, and both teams really, really stepping up to the mark for this occasion. And I've got to also say, the referee having a tremendous game, letting the game flow, making sure that players aren't no kidology, and doing a really good job. Here at half-time at Leek Town, Harrison Park, in this cup final, currently it's Bamber Bridge FC 1, Jamie Milligan, the goal scorer from a fantastic free kick. Grantham Town FC 0.
Well, thank you, Swampert, for your first half commentary there. Superb stuff. Thought you did a very good job. Didn't he do well?
He did indeed.
Listen at home.
he always does, though.
You're listening to the MPL show live here on a Wednesday evening from Leek Town's Harrison Park. And it's a cracking half of football there. Ebbed and flowed. Bamber Bridge started off the stronger of the two sides. Then Grantham Town came more into it. Missed a hatful of chances. Didn't hit the target at all. And then Bamber Bridge get a free kick right on the death there just before half time, which is slotted home with aplomb. It was superb stuff. Would you like to introduce yourself to the dear listener at home?
Yep, I'm Graham Cowell, doing the coverage for Grantham Town, the post-match interviews, BBC Radio Lincolnshire, local stations, and covering them. What's been a great season for Grantham?
It really has, and we've dipped in on the MPL show and EvoStick Extra during the season, and thank you for allowing us access to those interviews. And slowly but surely, there has been a bit of a frustration from the coaching staff that maybe during the season they've not been taken too serious, but the thing that we were saying wasn't the athletics track, but the thing we were saying was the amount of games extra played that Grantham have had, and for Grantham to be just nearly there, I mean, depending on the results tonight, they could still get into the playoffs. It's a cracking season Grantham have had.
It's been absolutely unbelievable, and the games in hand have all come about because it's a great surface at Grantham, and it has been a great surface all season, so very few games get postponed there. The league have rearranged things that meant the Gingerbread played a lot of home games early in the season, which has meant that they've actually been away from home for the last five games, and maybe on Monday night, the Monday afternoon, the legs got a little bit tired at Corby and things caught up with them, but it's just been a fantastic run. Two defeats since the end of October. Mm-hmm. Just absolutely unbelievable. The players are believing in what the managers want them to do.
Now, we spoke to the manager a few months ago, and the expectation was just to play good football. The expectation was there is no expectation on Grantham, and just for the young team to enjoy themselves, and that's what they've been doing.
And I think that's why it's worked so well this season. Everybody has bought into that ethos of pressing hard. You could see as the first half went on there, as Grantham got into their stride, they denied Bamber Bridge time, they denied them space, they got the ball down the channels, and then the chances are coming. And you mentioned there's a young side. Yeah, the most experienced player on the pitch seems to have been at Grantham for years, Sam Persico, but he's only 24.
Brilliant stuff. If Grantham don't make it, it's still been a cracking season for Grantham. Moving on to next season, can Grantham kick on next season? It's going to be a competitive league. Obviously, we've got the likes of Altrincham joining the league and some good sides from Division 1 South and North joining us too. It is going to be competitive, but can Grantham mix it up this year?
Well, next year is going to be, as you say, so competitive. You look at the top 10 of the league, and up till a couple of weeks ago, any of those top 10 could have finished in the playoffs, and only one of them is going to go up with Blyth. So there's, you know, there's eight teams there that are going to be really fighting tooth and nail for it next year. There are going to be some key parts to next season for the Gingerbreads. Two of the players that you've been referring to in the first half, Harry Clift and Luther Wilden, have been on loan from Notts County and Grimsby respectively, and they've been a huge part of the season. Now, it's going to be a battle for Grantham to keep those two for next season, or if not, replace them. They're going to need someone alongside Lee Shaw, as Felipe Barcelos won't be with the team next year. He's suggested already that he'll be moving back down south. So another goal scorer needed there. So there'll be some tinkering for Adam to do. But he's got a good record of bringing players in that have fitted into what he wants them to do.
Now, we've actually met before, but I don't think you remember. It's when FC United came to Grantham. And at that time, the mood at Grantham, it wasn't what it is now. It was a bit down in the dumps, to be honest. What's the mood been like this season? It surely is a club with a spring in its step.
It's unbelievable. When FC United were coming down, the Gingerbreads were holding on to the Premier League place, and that's what everyone expected season after season. They did it last season. I think most people at the beginning of the year would have said, well, if we finish two or three places higher, that's great. But sticking with the squad has proved the right thing to do. It's lifted the mood in the club. There's more things going on off the field. The board of directors has been expanded. There's an awful lot of things going on that the Gingerbreads are hoping to bring more revenue into the club that will just help Adam to put a better side on the field than we're seeing tonight.
Absolutely. Well, just before you go, just a quick plug, because the interviews are superb. The assistant manager at Grantham Town, quality value. Where can people go to keep abreast of everything that's going on with Grantham Town?
Yeah, the Gingerbreads website, granthamtownfc.co.uk. The Gingerbreads are out there, Twitter and Facebook as well. Keep in touch. Danny's always entertaining. He's more entertaining off air because he actually has to rein himself in a little bit.
But he reins himself off air. That is crazy.
He reins himself, in. You want to hear some of the things that he's saying before we get live on air. Okay. Great bloke. Makes a great atmosphere.
Well, thank you for joining us. Just a quick plug for your work. How could people get in touch with you on social media and that kind of thing?
Well, keep in touch with BBC Radio Lincolnshire and Gravity FM. The Gingerbreads are covered well by both stations, as well as we mentioned there on the social media on the club website.
Well, thank you for joining us. That was a good chat there about Grantham. I'm going to try and squeeze in a quick interview that BBC Radio Lancashire did with Bamber Bridge and Neil Reynolds. Let's hear that interview now for a quick look at where Bamber Bridge are this season and going into this game.
It's one of them nights that's probably up there with the most special in your career, and certainly as manager, you know, to be in that position for the first time ever, it was quite extraordinary. But you know, semi-final was pitched against us. We're obviously, you know, we're going to play Buxton, you know, from a higher division, and they're going for a playoff places. And we knew that we'd have to be on our mettle to get anything from the game. And then after 20 minutes, disaster struck. We went down to 10 men. Josh Eaton got sent off. My heart sank. And I thought, right, how are we going to mastermind this now? You know, is it going to be taken away from us at, you know, such a cruel stage, if you will? And thankfully, you know, we got through to half-time and we were able to regroup and reshape ourselves. And you know, we went out with a system 4-4-1, and I said, if we've got to take it to penalties, then we will do. But as it happens, Dan, we came out, you know, second half, and I think we created 14 chances, had 70% possession during the game, and could have quite easily won the game. But it wasn't to be. You know, it went to penalties, and I don't know where the fans came from, but the fans just packed behind the goal, and, you know, quite an intimidating sight for both teams, really. But fortunately, you know, the fans did enough to put Buxton off, and our guys stepped up and scored the winning penalties, and through we went. And it was such a memorable night. Can't explain the emotion for many a reason.
Does doing it the hard way like that, you know, with 10 men and against the odds, make it all the more satisfying?
It does, yeah. I mean, it does. I mean, you know, we've played now, you know, I think we've played three teams from, you know, levels above us, with Marine. I think we've played Marine, we've played Ashton. You know, we played Buxton, and you know, and each time the sides were getting better and better and higher up in the, you know, the Premier Division. So, you know, for us to mastermind a victory with 11-11 would have been, you know, a great achievement. But to do it the way we did it, you know, fortunately we lost Josh and he was absolutely heartbroken. But, you know, the lads rallied round each other, and, you know, when there were a man down, we worked even harder. And, you know, 1-10, because I didn't make any change on that night, the shift that they put in was unbelievable. And yeah, it did make it more the sweeter. Made it more sweet for a number of reasons, but the, you know, I keep saying the fans and the club. It was just so special to do it for the club, really, and the fans, and hopefully, you know, we can go one better in the cup final. and go on and, you know, get some silverware for the club.
Yeah, I was going to say, a week's time, the 19th, at Leek Town, you're playing Grantham. How big a test is that going to be?
Yeah, another massive task. We've had them watched, and we will have them watched again. And we know they're a very good side. And, you know, them themselves are chasing for a playoff place in the Premier Division. They're putting a good set of results together. And it's a cup final. And, you know, they're going to be odds-on favourite to win with their position in the league and being in, you know, being in the higher division. But, you know, on our night, without wanting to sound arrogant, I'm confident that we can beat anybody. And I've said this all the way along. You know, when my team tick, we're as good as anything. And I believe we're as good as anything in our division and the one above.
Having beaten teams from the division above already, you've already touched on it, do you feel like you've got nothing to prove? You can go in there and you're kind of there on merit?
Yeah, we're definitely there on merit. You know, certainly we're there on merit. You know, to beat, you know, Marine 4-1 and to come from behind against Ashton and win 2-1 and, you know, to take Buxton all the way to penalties, we're certainly there on merit. And, you know, I say this against all our oppositions, you've got to respect them but don't fear them. And that'll be no different for the Grantham game. You know, we won't fear them. We know they'll have quality in key areas, as will we have. And it's just a game. It's a one-off game over 90 minutes. And if it's not decided over 90 minutes, it's decided on penalty. So there's no extra time. We'll be doing anything we can to win the game in the 90 minutes. And, you know, why not? Why not? Why can the dream not become reality?
We spoke pretty much just after you took the job a few months ago and you said it had been a bit of an up-and-down season. It'd be amazing, wouldn't it, to cap it off with some silverware?
It would be amazing. I think we've been in charge now 20, 21 games and I think we've got 12 or 13 wins and, you know, four or five defeats and three or four draws. It's really come together. But since I took over, this is when the cup journey started against Marine and then, you know, Burst goals and then Glossops. And then I think it was Ashton, then Buxton. It's going to finish with Grantham. So, you know, since the turn of the year, this cup has meant so much to us. And I've talked about this in the paper and to the press that, you know, we harbour a little ambition to bring some silverware to this club and we'll respect the trophy. And it's one that we're desperate to win. You know, we had two ambitions. One was to get the playoffs and the other one was to win the Doudson Cup. And, you know, although the playoffs look unrealistic now, the Doudson Cup is certainly realistic. And we'll be doing everything we can do on the night to go and secure the trophy and bring it back home for, you know, for the club.
And just finally, I know managers from the way they think quite a lot of the time by now, is there always half an eye on what you do for next season? And if you can finish this one strongly, it'll almost give you a bit of a head start for the new one?
Well, it is, and that's touched upon my team talk that I said before the semi-final game. You know, there's always a turning point in a club's career where if they can get some silverware, it becomes a winning mentality and a habit. You know, and then, you know, it happened for Alex Ferguson, didn't it? I'm not saying it's going to happen for Neil Reynolds, but it happened for Alex Ferguson all them years ago when he won one and then one became 25, 30 trophies. It's got to start somewhere. And I believe in my current squad, and, you know, you add two or three bits to it over the summer. If we can end with some silverware, then we can certainly kick on from here and target the championship next season, target possibly another cup. But, you know, I'm going to stay grounded. But it's something that we firmly believe that if we can win a trophy, it can really kickstart us in and maybe, you know, get into that habit of winning trophies. And you never know, my ambition of taking Bamberidge to the next level and being successful with them could be.
Neil Reynolds talking to BBC Radio Lancashire. We're now joined for... we'll get you properly towards at the full time. But
no worries, yeah.
Just use yourself.
Yeah, my name's Craig Salmon. I'm from the Lancashire Evening Post, based in Preston. Obviously, Bamber Bridge is our top non-league club in the area, so we're really pleased with the result at half-time. 1-0, cracking free kick from Jamie Milligan gives Bamber Bridge the lead.
And so how pleased will Neil Reynolds be going in at half-time, right there, getting that goal?
Well, he must have been pleased with the opening 25 minutes, because I thought Bamber Bridge were the better side. They were pressing Grantham all over the park. But I think towards the end of the first half, Grantham really rose into the game and really pushed and had quite a few clear chances, didn't they? Headers at the end. And but obviously Milligan, who's obviously played at the highest level for Everton and Blackpool, he's a Fleetwood legend and he's come up with a bit of quality there to put Brigg into the lead. And Renault, he'll be absolutely thrilled.
And how important would be silverware for Bamber Bridge, given the season they've had, this transitional year that's undoubtedly is for the club?
Yeah, it's been an indifferent season for Bamber Bridge. They had a great few years under Neil Crowe as manager. They got to the playoff final twice in successive seasons. This season's not been too good. They had a poor run early in the season. They actually topped the table in around September, October time, but they went on a real poor losing run, and Neil Crowe, who was a manager since 2012, he resigned.
Bamber Bridge legend, really.
And Renault's come in and has galvanised the team, really. The lads are really, really brought into what he wants. And obviously this cup run has really been a real fillip towards the end of the season.
Well, we'll get you back on at full time. We'll have a big love in with all the journalists in the booth, and talk about what finally happened in this Duta final. So thank you for joining us.
No worries. Thanks very much. Cheers.
Well, thanks very much for that. The game just starting now. Second half underway. The ball on this near touchline again now with Stuart Varsey. Plays it to the right back, ball into the penalty area. Needs to be dealt with. Not particularly well dealt with. And the number 11 scrambles across. Chris Marlowe. Two players there around. He plays it all the way back. Simple ball. Bamber Bridge in the ascendancy. Milligan chips the ball forward. It's not the best of balls. Not good clearance either. And it'll fall to the edge of the area for the number 7 there. Wadakar. First shot comes in. Oh! No! It's not Wadakar. The ball go across him. And I'm just going to have a look at the number of the shirt there, because that was an absolute blinder. We've got a big post in front of us, unfortunately. But he hit it with the outside of his boot into the top right-hand corner. Nothing the keeper could do. And 2-0. I think it was Regan Linney, the number 8, perhaps, who would absolutely unleashed the ball. But, yeah, what a layoff. Absolutely superb. You could probably see it slightly better from where you are than I was, because I'm in front of this big post. But what a finish. But it was all about the layup, wasn't it? It was all about the pressure being exerted. And Bamber Bridge, the team, a division below, found themselves 2 goals up with
13 minutes on the clock in the second half.
Superb there. Really good play. And again, I think the layoff was it Michael Potts with the layoff there? Absolutely instrumental there, and a great, great work goal as well.
And what finishing as well. I mean, it pays to hit the target, doesn't it? I mean, Grantham, they've not had a chance like that, but they've not really hit the target once yet, have they?
Well, that's the downside. I mean, it was either Linney that scored it, or Linney did the layoff, and Potts scored. It was the number 8, wasn't it?
Confirmed is Linney by Bamber Bridge.
Well, there we go. Regan Linney with a great goal, but what a layoff again, and 2-0 up. And it's an under-quarter ball to Grantham Town FC, the team just off the playoff spot at this moment in time. And, well, what have they got to offer here in this second half? 2 goals down the trail. It's going to be Curtis Burrows takes the corner ball. It's a decent corner in, is it? No, it's headed away. Comfortable headed away as well by Michael Potts. But they still have an opportunity. A long throw in, or is it short? It is indeed short. It's, again, Burrows on the ball, but the ball's intercepted, and the ball cleared. There was a bit of pace in there. Didn't it look like he was trying to knock the heads off the management team of Grantham there? Dodds, but it's a throw-in, which he'll take again with Ellis Story.
Grantham have got to gamble a little bit here now. They keep holding back in like certain positions. Like they've got 4 at the back at the moment.
Ball to the penalty. It's a decent ball as well, and it's the 10 on the end of it. It's an opportunity. Good head comes in. Good strong header. Great shot. Great header. Great goal. And a tremendous ball in. It was all down to, in fairness, Lee Shaw. He never gave up. They've got to the byline. He whipped the ball across. And a really, really good header there. And, well, they get themselves back into this. And again, forgive me.
18 minutes on the clock in the second half.
And it was a really, really good work ball across there. And a great header downwards. The goalkeeper gets his palm across, but couldn't put it in. Couldn't do anything about it. And a really, really good header from Danny Meadows, the number 6 there. Lloyd Rigby comes across, the goalkeeper to take. And no rush for him. He'll set himself. And this probably will be the last moment of the game. Referee been tremendous. Every player on that pitch tremendous. It's been played in a great spirit. Not been a single yellow card as the ball chipped into the penalty area. Well, it falls kindly for the goalkeeper. But there's no need. There's no rush for anybody else to do anything other than congratulate Bamber Bridge FC on a monumental, phenomenally fantastic, great game of football. The Bridge fans are on the pitch enjoying their victory, and well, they've been treated to an absolute wonderful game of football. And I've got to say, it really, really is. And what is nice to see as well is that the Bridge supporters that are on the pitch are actually going up and shaking the hands of the Grantham Town players. And well, there's nothing worse. I mean, I don't know if you guys have ever played in a cup final that of any merit or any note, Ben.
School cup final.
But it is the pain of losing a game. It's extraordinary. But you know, they can be proud in they took part in a tremendous game of football. Really, really entertaining cup final, I've got to say. And 3 great goals, a great spirit played. The game, the referee, I thought, I for me, that's the best refereeing performance of the season in all the divisions I've been watching in football. The purist or the people out there that supported either team might be thinking, well, there should have been a free kick here, there should have been this here and there, that there. But for me, he let the game flow, not a yellow card in the game. He's talked to players in the right manner, and it's just been part and parcel of a great, great game of cup football and a final played at a fantastic stadium. And guys, well, you've got to...
Best one yet, great final.
It certainly was. Any further scores to give us this evening, gentlemen, before we have this, the award ceremony and everything presented?
Saying, full times from the other games at the moment. Obviously, it's still going on at the moment at Workington, so it's still 2-0 to them. In the County Cup, it's supposed to start with a semi-final. Stafford Rangers have knocked Chasetown out 2-1 as well there. They will be facing Walsall in the final of their Senior Cup. And it is a congratulations to Shaw Lane, who win their County Cup 1-0 after a fantastic game against Frickley.
Before we go off air, we'll try and get Neil Reynolds on if we can. But that was a cracking cup final. We've covered a few now, and no disrespect to the other finals we've seen, but that was a level above, wasn't it? By both teams. Congratulations to Captain and Bamber Bridge. Superb.
It certainly was. It was a very, very good game of football. And, you know, cup finals can be very tentative affairs. There can be games where the dower, there's a lot of fouls and free kicks. This was a game where, you know, in all fairness, it was just played in the right spirit, the right manner. Two teams, and say Bamber Bridge having an indifferent season, but showing real quality, tenacity and pace and purpose, and two great goals, and defended very, very well. It could have been slightly more. Grantham Town can be very, very proud of their season this year, and as you say, moving on for them next season in the Northern Premier Division. They're going to be, you know, if they can keep that squad together, because they've got some good players in there, they can add a couple as well, they're going to be a force, certainly in the reckoning next year. But Bamber Bridge, very, very impressive. Got some good quality players in that team, and deserved winners, really, aren't they, guys? I don't think you say that they weren't deserved winners.
And one of the way they came out in the first half, straight out of the bat, passing it around, not giving Grantham any time, getting that goal towards the end of the first half. Then in the second half, they did the same again, didn't they? Came straight out of the dressing room, didn't give Grantham any rest. Obviously, Grantham came back into the game, but Bamber Bridge didn't panic, did they, at all?
They played to a game plan. The game plan was to try and break down the Grantham attacks, get the ball, get it out wide, work the ball, hold on to it, and the game plan worked. So the first 25 minutes in that first half, they nullified the Grantham midfield, and therefore Grantham had to go slightly long over the top to try and get something out of the game. But just below us now, the players of Grantham getting their runners-up medals, and I'm sure these players will have winners' medals or certainly winners' trophies in the not-too-distant future, because the people of Grantham can be proud of them. They're a good team, play some good football, and if they carry on doing that throughout next season, they're going to be certainly to be reckoned with in the Northern Premier League. And all told, not disappointing for them, but for the supporters like ourselves and for neutrals like ourselves, a great game of football, which they've been wholly a part of, Ben. And you've got to say, well done to them. They'll be very, very disappointed going home this evening. But there's always a winner and loser in football. And tonight, I think the winner is football, and there are no losers, unfortunately.
And we should say as well, when it comes to Bamber Bridge, obviously Neil Crowe's been there for years now, and Neil Reynolds has taken over a few months ago, and a bit like Alan Armstrong with Tom Wade, I think some credit has to go to Neil Crowe as well. And you know, Bamber Bridge have always been a very strong side in Division One North, and this bit of silverware, I think it's gonna come in very handy for them next season.
I think so. Yeah, I mean, you know. This is a kind of competition, I suppose. If you had this game played in, say, February, it could really kickstart your season. You know, that's what you'd be thinking. It's not like the League Cup, you know, in the top division in the Premier League, that you can have it so early in the season and then be able to push on. But you know, if they can keep this team together, they can keep working as a unit. There's no reason why they can't next season be right up there. I mean, they played like Northern Premier League Premier players, there's no question about it. To match a team that had finished just outside the playoffs of the Northern Premier League, that could have taken the likes of Grantham Town into the Conference North, just shows how well they've worked and the quality of the team. But as you rightly say, you know, Crowe did a great job for many, many years at the football club, and he's a legend there. But he's now you know, as a new man in the helm, and silverware is his. He'll be the manager that says, I took the team to a cup final and won. He's down there looking very, very smart. I've got to say, they do.
They look dapper, don't they?
Yes. I think their shirts were bought at Sainsbury's probably before kickoff, and they're that white, shiny, and new and clean. The players all below us now, all getting their medals and smiles upon their faces. They've all worked tremendously well, and they're all there still getting them. And comes the skipper now, Matt Lawler, to collect the trophy. And the words championes, championes, ole, 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 around us now. It's a lovely trophy as well. And well, Lawler wants the players to get across there to him. He doesn't want it to just to be presented by himself. And the players are now surrounding him. And Harrison Park has got a new champion of the Intergrow Cup final. 2-1. Bamber Bridge as the trophy is lifted. And the players celebrate long into the night once they get home. Or is it work in the morning? Well, you can guarantee one thing, it'll be work in the morning. This is semi-professional football. These guys will be back at work tomorrow, but they'll be celebrating, you'd expect, probably over the weekend once the season is over with. Happy moments like these that will always resonate within football, and fans and supporters and players. Well, this is what it's all made of.
So, a big congratulations to you, Neil Reynolds. That was well, it was a superb performance, I thought, from Bamba.
It was superb. I'm absolutely delighted. Delighted for everybody connected to the club. I wrote in my programme notes tonight that, you know, this game was dedicated towards Gerry Lawson, who sadly passed away, and I stand by that. The fans, my players, everything to do connected to the club, everyone's fought for this. You know, we had that belief after the first round, then we went to Burscoe, and the run continued, and we harboured that little ambition in the dressing room that we could win this trophy, and, you know, hopefully this could be the first of many, but I'm just delighted with everything tonight.
And you came straight out of the blocks in the first half. Cracking stuff. Then Grantham obviously came back into it, as you'd expect, to get that goal, and it was such a quality free kick, wasn't it?
I mean, Jamie Milligan's got that, and, you know, he's probably the first person to say that, you know, he probably didn't have the best of halves, and I've turned around to the linesman and I said, you need to watch this, and he just saw a gap, and Jamie does what he does best, and he puts it in, and we go in 1-0 up with our tails up, and we come out well, and Regan goes and scores a wonder goal. And although they got, you know, the goal, I backed our players, I backed them in every, you know, in every area, and this was our night, this was our time, and, you know, we fully believed we were going to win this trophy.
From the start of the game, you had a game plan. It was to take it to the opposition, obviously a division above you. Whether a team above you like that, do you get a chance to watch them, or is it just go out there, lads? We've had a few scout reports. We know what they're capable of. We know how good they have been all season. And we'll go out there and play our game tonight, because that's what it seemed to me. You dominated the midfield in the early parts of the game. You get that great goal as well. They've had a couple of good chances where they perhaps should have done better with. But you've just basically run that and boss that midfield for the vast majority of the game with pace and quality. You've got to be really proud of those players, the way they've worked for you this evening.
I mean, we have had them watched twice, you know, and every credit to Grantham tonight. It was a great final, and, you know, unfortunately they haven't come out on top. We had them watched Saturday, and we knew that, you know, their playoff dream was pretty much over, and we thought if we come out of the traps early tonight and we score, maybe they think in the playoffs and the cup final in 1 week would go, and that was our game plan. You know, we've obviously been methodical with how we've worked on in training, and you can see we executed the game plan to perfection tonight. And I've said all the way along, you know, no disrespect to any teams from the league above, but when it came to Marine, when it came to Ashton, when it came to Books, and now it's come to Grantham, I believe my side can hold its own with, you know, with anybody in our league and the league above. But obviously we've got to do our work to get out of our league. But, you know, I said to everybody, we'll always respect the opposition, but we won't fear them. And you can see tonight we haven't feared the opposition, and we've definitely done well tonight.
I mean, you look like tonight, we've seen a lot of games, me and Ben, this season, from the Premier League to the North and to the South. You look like a Premier League outfit there tonight, no question about it. Going to frustrate you, really, that the season's been a little bit indifferent for you, but you can take this now going forward. I was saying to Ben earlier on, would this cup final have been better for you in something like February, so it could have maybe helped you kick on the season, or is it just as pleasurable now and then know you can work in for next season?
I think it's as pleasurable as whenever. I mean, I've been in charge now 4 or 5 months, and, you know, to win a trophy after such a short period of time, it's amazing. You know, I'm delighted, and I just wanted to do it for the club. But no, you know, I didn't want to win this in February. I wanted the league campaign to go on as long as possible. I was developing a team when I took over, and people left and people came in. And, you know, what we can do now is thoroughly kick on. And, I said, you know, to the media that this could be the first of many. You know, we've got that winning feeling. It becomes a habit, doesn't it? And hopefully now we can attract maybe one or two players, 3 or 4 players over the summer, and we can now harbour that little ambition again, that we've got the belief that we can go on and kick on and win the championship and get out of our league and hold our own where we feel that we belong.
Well, Neil, on behalf of everyone from the NPL show, a big congratulations on your success this evening, quality side, and all the best, and have a good summer.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
And a big thank you to the league and the hospitality shown by Leek Town on Wednesday evening. We had a thoroughly enjoyable time, and a big congratulations once again to both Bamber Bridge and Grantham Town. A cracking game of football and a cracking atmosphere. So a big thank you, and I hope you enjoyed our coverage from Wednesday evening. But just before we leave this month's MPL show, just to mention Thursday night's game, Hales Owen Town against Nantwich Town. Nantwich needed a point to confirm their place in the playoffs this season. They got that point. Hales Owen Town 0, Nantwich Town 0. And after the match, manager of Nantwich Town, Phil Parkinson, caught up with Jack Jones.
Phil, a 0-0, but we're in the playoffs, so can't be too disappointed with the result.
Yep, achieved the goal at the start of the season. Needed one more point than I thought we'd need, but it's a fantastic achievement for the players, the club, the supporters. We've waited a long time for this. We haven't achieved that since I was a player here, so I'm so proud of this group of players to be able to say that they've come so far in a short space of time.
Looking in the short term with the 0-0 draw tonight, it was an incredible performance from Dabbers. You know, they really threw everything at Hales Owen, and they were so unlucky not to win. How, you know, one of the chances hasn't gone in. You must have been praying one of those went in towards the end.
Yeah, definitely. It felt like that all game. I mean, the pitch is. He's not conducive to our style of play, so we changed. We didn't play our normal style. We did get it forward a lot quicker, and I felt second half, particularly when Vinny come on, I thought Vinny made a massive impact for us. I've been waiting for him to do that. He really changed the game. He's done it in little bits since he's come to the club, but really give us a focal point. Steve Jones second half was fantastic. Josh Hancock a threat all night. Ozzy in the first half was probably more of a threat than he was in the second. Joe coming on, so We've got lots of players who are so close to being match winners for us, and we just need one of them to be a hero. We need in the playoffs, we need to be looking at who is going to be that hero, and I'm sure one of them will step up to the plate. It's just been, the games have been so tight of late, and we just haven't been able to finish teams off like we should do. And I just said to the players in the changing room, maybe we're waiting for that key moment in the playoffs to really up our form again, because we're playing so well. We just need to like I say, finish teams off when we're in the ascendancy. It's a real good group, and they deserve everything they get. They deserve to be in the playoffs, and our fancy is against anyone, home or away. People have seen it this season, our form's equally as good home or away. Some people say a little bit better away, so we'll see. Whatever we get dealt in the playoffs, we'll put a great account of ourselves over, and anyone's game on the day.
With this result getting into the playoffs, this is like the first time I think in 8 years that they've done it. So can you perhaps put into words just what an incredible achievement it is for the football club to reach the top five spots?
It's just it is a massive achievement. I mean, like I said, the last time we did it, I was playing here. Steve Davis was the manager, and it was the only time they've ever done it. That was the first season we came into the league. It's obviously been a bit of an up and down time since then, but I'd like to think whilst myself and my management team have come in, we stayed relegation. We had a real progressive season the previous one, and this season obviously we've shown what we're all about. And what makes it even sweeter is how many players we lost in the summer, and the fact that we're able to recruit and bring players on is a credit to everybody involved at the football club.
Then you must be pleased going into the final game. What sort of shape the squad's in? You know, there's a lot of fit, hungry players in there. You've managed to keep some legs fresh whilst others have come in and shown a good run of form. So you must be pleased with the state of the squad going into the final game.
Yeah, absolutely. We're really looking forward to the next games that are up and coming. We can't wait to sort of embrace the challenge. And like I said, it's first stage accomplished. Now we need to look at how we are going to get promoted, and it's a fantastic thing to be able to say. I'm sure the supporters are all ecstatic, the fact that they can sort of take a sigh of relief, even though there's only one game to go and we've got a huge mountain to climb at Stourbridge on Saturday. We want to finish as high as we can. We're going to go to Stourbridge and try and win the game. We're not going to try and play mind games. We're going to go there and assert ourselves in the proper way. And like I say, take the form into the next game, because I think if we change it too much, if we rest too many players, if we just do things for doing its sake to change things around, then you can be in a hide into nothing, because that could hinder your form going into the playoff matches. So we're really going to focus on the next game, just take it one at a time, and I've been through this myself in the past, so I'm going to use all my experience to try and help my players to progress to that final and hopefully go on and win it.
So a big thank you there to Jack Jones and the media team at Nantwich Town. That was Phil Parkinson, their manager at Nantwich Town, following their 0-0 draw with Halesowe in town. So just to confirm, just before we leave this week's show, just to confirm the sides in the playoffs this season: Spennymoor Town, Stourbridge, Workington and Nantwich Town. But who's going to finish where? We just don't know. It all boils down to this Saturday's matches. Stourbridge against Nantwich Town. That is going to be a big game and a crucial one to decide who's going to have home advantage in Tuesday night's playoffs. Elsewhere, we've got Spennymoor Town hosting Barwell, and the last remaining team in the playoffs, Workington, they're hosting Sutton Coldfield Town. Sutton Coldfield Town, they need a win. While Corby Town travelled to Coldfield Town, they need a win also. It's a very pivotal weekend, and of course, on behalf of everyone linked to the NPL show, we wish everyone the best of luck on Saturday. Just a bit of housekeeping before we go. The Division 1 show is also available, where I'm joined by Tom Feeney from the Yorkshire Evening Post, by Adam Lord from the Lancashire Evening Post, by Ian Burke from Radio Manchester, and by Andrew Simpson from the Mid-Cheshire Guardian, where we'll be looking ahead to all this weekend's matches, all the important matches in Division 1 North and South. But that's it for this week's NPL show. We'll be back live on Tuesday evening from Witten Albion. We're not sure yet who Witten Albion have got, but one thing we can say is we'll be there live doing a kind of weird experimental style Jeff Stelling Soccer Saturday effort, where we're going to try and bring you all the action from all the other playoff semi-finals that are happening on Tuesday night, plus that one at Winsham Park between Witten Albion and TBA. So tune in on FCUM Radio and Whitby Town Radio on Tuesday evening. But that's it for this month's NPL show. We hope you've enjoyed it. It's been all over the place, but nothing ventured, nothing gained. A big thank you to all my guests this week. Loads of guests. Congratulations once again to Bamber Bridge, and congratulations to Spennymoor Town, Stourbridge, Workington and Nantwich Town for making the playoffs this season. But seriously, a big congratulations too to Buxton, Grantham, Whitby, Matlock, Warrington Town, and you know what, everybody. It's been a cracking regular season, and it's coming to an end this Saturday. So on behalf of everyone here on the NPL show, good luck everybody. Wherever you're going this weekend to cheer on your NPL side, make sure that you have fun. Goodbye.
The EvoStick NPL show was brought to you in association with EvoStick, proud official sponsors of the Northern Premier League.